Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Thank you, Pastor Bruce, and thank you for all for tuning in today. We're going to continue in our sermon series, Love Is. And God has been gracious and been merciful to us as a church, keeping us one step ahead. So the reason for this sermon series is because we know in the next couple of weeks, months, and days, we're going to be heading into a difficult political season, if you will. And also, there's a lot of social injustice unrest still in the nation and around the world. And we want to make sure as a church that anything we do is rooted firmly in the love of Jesus. And so last week, Pastor Nathan spoke about love being kind. And the difference between being kind and nice was that nice is when you're trying to get somebody to like you. But being kindness is when you're bringing out the best in that man or woman. Pastor Bruce started us off talking about love being patient. And patient definitely is a virtue. And I thank God that God is patient with us, just like the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, that he's patient with us and he wants all men to come to repentance. And that sometimes we get provoked into things or doing things that we shouldn't do or say, but because of that patience in us and that love in us, it causes us to look the other way. But, you know, the scripture verse that we're preaching out of is in 1 Corinthians 13:4. It talks about love being patient, love being kind. And today I have the honor and the privilege to preach on something very difficult about being envy, because it says love is not envious. And so before I get into that, let me give you a little bit of backdrop of what's going on with the church of Corinth as Paul is writing this letter. It said Pastor Nathan last week talked a little bit about what was going on as far as the church getting drunk during communion. There were some things going on that Pastor Bruce alluded to with a little bit of promiscuity, some immorality going on in the church because of the definition or the thought of love, I should say. And so the church was kind of out of order. And here was Paul coming in, speaking truth in love to help set this church in order, to explain to them what love is really about. And Paul's love and definition of love was always rooted deep in the Word of God. And also, not just that, but also in what Jesus spoke. And Jesus was preaching and teaching from a point of agape love, that love that's self-serving, that is selfless, if you will, that the love that is always thinking the best of others and self-sacrificing. And so this is the love that we're talking about is significant. And the church has gotten off of that here in the church of Corinth. And it talks about them being envious. And what they were being envious about was that they were envious because of the gifts. God had begun to pour out a spirit in this church. Things are breaking loose. People are getting the gift of prophecy. They're speaking in tongues. The miracle power of God is hitting the place, and the people are getting envious of one another. And so it's very difficult to understand that the gifts and callings of God are not about us. And if anything you hear me say today is that it's not about me, but it's always about the we. If I have a gift, and you can look at the gifts, and if you go back in 1 Corinthians 12 and you read verses 8 through 10, or you can look in Romans chapter 12 and go through verses 6 and 8, it talks about these gifts that God would administer to the people to help them to grow the church. And it was never about them, but it should have always been rooted in love about bringing people to Jesus. So when God gave them a word of knowledge and they would use that to minister to people, that should have been something to let people know that God is real and that God cares about them. You know, something like that happened to me. That's part of my experience of coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, I was very prideful, very full of myself, if you will. And God brought a pastor, a man of God, into my life. And I remember the day that he was getting ready to minister to me the love of God and explain to me who Jesus was and that I needed to repent and turn away from sin and put my hope and trust in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the reason this was significant was because I had my arms folded. I kind of had myself kind of like, I'm not trying to hear this right now. But God had given this man a gift, and he had a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge was something that God had put inside of him to explain something that had happened to me years ago as a young child. And I remember him just saying this, "I see you as a small child on the side of a bed praying and saying that I will never treat a woman like this." And when he said that, I looked up immediately and I knew God was in the building, God was in the room by his Holy Spirit, because only God knew that about me. Because I grew up in a very a difficult home where there was abuse, and I would always pray, "Lord, never let me treat a woman like that," because of the things that I was hearing and seeing at a young age. And so just remember that the gifts have always been for people to be drawn to Christ. And so what's the difference between being envy and jealous? So the definition of this is this: the main difference between envy and jealousy is that envy is the emotion of coveting what someone else has, while jealousy is the emotion related to fear that something you have will be taken away by someone else. So when I'm being envious, what I am is I'm looking at somebody and saying, "I wish I had what they have. Why is it that they have that and I don't?" And all of a sudden, the conversation goes from what is going on internally to what starts coming out of my mouth verbally about that man or woman, of what they have and why I don't have that. And it gets even worse, because you can go from that emotional state to a state of moving into something more natural, where now not only are you speaking bad about that person, but now you're actually wanting to do harm to that person because of what they have and that you don't have. And so one of the stories that you can go back and look in the Bible about is Joseph. Here, Joseph's father blessed him, gave him this coat of many colors. And, God gave him a gift of interpretation of dreams. And God gave him a dream, and he began to share this with his brothers and his family. And they didn't like it, to the point where they began to speak bad about him. Next thing they knew, they wanted to kill him, and they put him in a pit. And so envy is very dangerous, and it's something that we have to take care of early on in our heart, because if it's not rooted in love, these gifts and these talents aren't rooted in love, it can pull us away, and we can begin to get envious about what others have and what we don't have. And my first point I want to make is this, is number one, we have to be content. Now, contentment is tough because, we're always trying to strive for things, we want things, we desire things, and sometimes desires can go askew, if you will. But the Bible says this in Philippians 4:11-13, it says, "Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, but of having abundance and suffering need." And this is the money line: "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Our satisfaction comes from Christ. Our satisfaction comes from doing the will of God. Our satisfaction comes from loving people as God loves people. And when we take our gifts and talents and we use that to the building up of the body, something special happens. The Bible says this in Romans 12:2. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." See, the world's ways are always contrary to God's ways. The world says that we have to cut, that we have to break, that we have to do things that are ungodly and unrighteous to get ahead. But the one thing that Paul is saying is that I've learned to be content in every circumstance and situation. So whether I have plenty or whether I have not, it doesn't matter. I'm still full of the joy of the Lord, and I'm content in the things that I have. And it's important that we live this way. I remember not being content in a stage of my life playing pro ball, or excuse me, college football. And I remember sitting in a room, and I remember, pointing the finger because I felt that I was better than the person in front of me. And I'll never forget it. I didn't know what this man was doing behind the scenes in order to perform the way he was performing. And so I began to envy. I began to say things. I began to talk, and I should this and I should that. But you know what? The thing that was so significant was that this man ended up getting hurt, and I had to get thrown into the fire, if you will, right into the game. And you know what? I wasn't ready. And so I want to encourage you today, don't be envious. Don't get mad because you don't have or you're lacking something. But if you look at it from God's perspective, it is not about me, but it's about the we. And that day I hurt our team because I wasn't ready. And so I want to encourage you today, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. God is going to always, and he will take care of you, but you have to always learn to be faithful in the little so that God can trust you with much. And that leads me to my second point about faithfulness. And see, God watches you and I, how we handle things that he gives you and how what he gives me. It's so important to know that when I'm diligent in the little things, that God can trust me with bigger things. And so when you're getting up early and you're getting on that prayer call, God sees you. When you're getting on that prayer call on a Tuesday night, God sees you. You know, when you're reading your Bible in secret, when you're walking your apartment or your home and you're praying and you're taking care of things in prayer, God begins to manifest those things publicly because God's a faithful God. It says this, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. And so God is always going to see how you handle the little things. You know, if you have a gift, you know, take that gift and begin to work it to the best of your ability. Use that gift to be a blessing to others. Use that gift to draw people to Christ and not to yourself, just like that man did on that day that he led me to the Lord. You know, Pastor Ken led me to the Lord. Ken do. He led me to the Lord, but he didn't pull me to himself. He took that gift and he pushed me towards Jesus and towards the body of Christ. But, you know, I watched him over the years, how faithful he was, how he would always use that gift to push people and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you and I are faithful in the littlest things, God sees us, God hears us, and God says, I can trust that man or woman with greater things down the road. And I believe this with all my heart. As you've been tested these last months, and some of us even for years, you've been tested to see if you'll be faithful. You've been tested in this season with COVID. We've been tested in this season with the social injustice. We've been tested with the economic crises. And I know that many of you have been challenged in this season to give and to continue to give. And with the economic things shaking and quaking, but yet when you're faithful and you're saying, you know, no matter what, I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you know what, when we come out on the other side of this, I can bless you with much. I can give you more. And so God sees and that we need to stay ready so we don't have to get ready. And a scripture verse says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. You know, we talked a little bit about patience. And one of the things about being envy is it drives out the being unpatient, being impatient, if you will. And when you're impatient, you begin to get in the flesh. You begin to strive. You begin to do things that are not natural. You begin to panic and you begin to make mistakes. And it's important to allow God. And I need you to hear this today. Many of us are walking around with a word of God over our life, and that word hasn't manifested yet. And you begin to get impatient. You begin to want to do it in your own timing, in your own will, in your own ways. But please be patient and let God do it for you, because God loves you and you want to make sure that you do it the right way. And I've learned this: whatever God gives me, nobody can take away from me. And so you want to allow God during this season to raise you up the right way, to teach you things that you never thought you could be taught, and all of a sudden use you to bring honor and glory to his name. And my third point is this, is vision. You know, it's important to have a vision for your life, because when you don't have a vision, what happens is we tend to find ourselves going through some other things that we shouldn't go through. And so the scripture verse is in Proverbs 29:18. It says this, people without a vision perish. And so in order for me not to go backwards, not to become envious, is that I understand that God has a vision for my life and that I'm valuable. And his vision is always greater than my vision. And when I tap into his vision, when I follow what it is he has for me, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing, because I'm content where I'm at. I'm thankful for where I'm at. I have a vision. I know that God has taken me somewhere. And so we have to do this. We have to press forward to what lies ahead. That scripture verse says this in Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. When you look back, and you worry about what's going on behind you, it's hard for you to know what God has for you in front of you. And it's so important for us to keep our eyes focused on the Lord, to trust him with all our heart, to lean not to our understanding, to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he will direct our path. You know, envy is a dangerous thing because sometimes I can ask for something or reach for something or grab for something that I'm not ready to handle. You know, and these people in the church of Corinth, you know, they needed to understand that each gift is valuable. And I need you to hear that today, that your gift is valuable. It doesn't matter if you have a gift of help and serving or you have the gift of prophecy. It's so important that these gifts are used for the building up of the body of Christ. And most of all, that it's done because of love, because God loves people and he wants to use those gifts and talents to build up his body. And so the famous quote, I love this quote, this man by the name of Booker T. Washington, he said this. He says, if you want to lift yourself up, lift up someone else. The gifts are about edifying and lifting and building others up. The gifts are about driving people back to the Lord. And so, yes, I have this gift, but the gift isn't for me. The gift is for the we. And just like Booker T. Washington said, he said, you know what, if you really want to be lifted up, I don't have to strive. I don't have to try to cut line. I don't have to do what the world does. But all I got to do is lift someone else up. And I want to challenge you today to take your gifts, to take your talents, to take your treasures and lift someone else up today. Go find somebody that's in a worse state than you are out there and say, you know what, I want to take what God has put in me and I'm going to be a blessing back to you. And so can I pray for us right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity to get into the Word today. And Lord, I do ask today, God, if there's anybody out there that feels left out, that feels like they're not valuable, that feels like their talents and their gifts are being shelved, God, I pray that you would show them by your Holy Spirit that what it is they're doing right now in this season is significant. Lord, whether it's just them picking up a call, the phone and calling somebody to pray for them, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would bless them for that. God, whether it's just somebody that feels led to give generously, Lord, I pray that you'd bless them for that. Lord, I pray, God, that people would continue to use their gifts and talents for the building up of the body, that they would always understand it is about the we and it's not about me. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to leave you with two take-home points, if you will, or two questions. You know, the first one is, have you identified your gifts? You know, sometimes we have these gifts that God's put in us and we don't even realize we have them. And so find out, get with a pastor, find somebody who can help you identify the gift that you have inside of you. Second thing is this, is how are you utilizing your gifts to serve others and to help build up the body of Christ in 2020. See, you can't say, well, I did this back in 2019 or 2018. We're talking about the right now, especially during this pandemic season, especially all that's going on in the world. We need the gifts and talents that are in the church to be manifest, not just inside, but also on the outside so that people can see the love of God. And so with that said, I pray that God bless you. May his face shine upon you. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.